This week is Parshas Vayetze. The parsha begins Vayetze Yachmi Beshava Vayelech Harana. Beautiful Rashi. Rashi says Vayetze Lo Hoyutzach Lichtov Ela Vayelech Yaakov Harana. The parsha should not begin Vayelech. Can you imagine we have a different parsha in the Torah? Instead of having Parshas Vayetze, it will be called Parshas Vayelech. And then we would get into trouble. Parshas Mitzvah Vayelech, we'd have to have another name for Vayelech Moshe. Okay, but that would come. That would be a problem later on. But Rashi here questions why is the but it's different there. It's Kiseitze. Okay, all right. But Rashi questions why is it necessary for the pasuk to begin with Vayetze Yaakov Meber Shava? The pasuk simply could have said began with Vayelech Yaakov Chorona. That would have been a complete pasuk, and that's we could have saved a couple of words. Why did it say Vayetze? So Rashi tells us a beautiful Yisoid Elamagid sheyitzias tzadik min hamakom osa roshon shebizman sheat tzadik buir hu hoida hu ziva hu hadara yatsa misham pana hoida pana ziva pana hadara. When a tzadik leaves a city, that's the end. The hoida, beautiful words. The hoida, the ziva, hadara. I don't know exactly the difference between these words, but it sounds very good, that's for sure. It sounds, yeah?
I have a line that's funny in Esther. He is its claim to fame, that's what I call it.
What?
The tzaddik.
He is the city's claim to fame. Okay, so the tzaddik is the beauty, the splendor, the dignity of the city. And when he goes, that's it. The city is a different type of city. So we have a question. The question is, I saw in the Sefer Kishut Eitor. Kishut Eitor is a beautiful Sefer. It's a Likut. It's a very beautiful Likut. Some original things there as well on ideas in the Parsha. And he has a very interesting question. Where did Yaakov go? At the end of the Likut's Parsha, we learn he did not go to Choron right away. There was a delay. There was a delay of 14 years. He was Nitman in the Beis Medrash Shein V'Eiver. And let me just he has sources to back him up that Shein V'Eiver was in Be'er Sheva. Shein V'Eiver was in Canaan. It was certainly not in Choron. It was in the vicinity of Be'er Sheva. What did Yaakov do in Shein V'Eiver for 14 years before he actually went to Choron? What did he do? He learned. He sat and learned. Now just to add to the words of sitting and learning, Rabbi Shur, I think he quotes his father, Gedalia Shur, in the words of Rashi in last week's parasha, he was Nitman Bebeis Shein V'Eiver, Nitman. Why did Rashi choose the word Nitman? The word Nitman in the laws of Shabbos has a very powerful meaning, Hatmana. When you have a warmer insulation, so are you allowed on Shabbos to insulate your pots, your dishes for Shabbos? So the answer, it all depends. If you leave it open, part of it is exposed, it's mutter. The only time it's usser is if it's completely sealed. In order to violate technically the law 100%, you have to take the pot over a source of heat and completely envelop, completely conceal the pot. That is the prohibition of hatmana. If you leave it, if it's loose, right, they have the covers, the olden days for the urns and these warmers, if you leave it, if it's loose or if it's not really covered, then it's not a violation of hatmana. But in order to be called hatmana, it must be completely immersed. The Rashi in last week's parasha cleverly selected that word to tell you that when Yaakov Avinu, he learned for 14 years, he was 100% immersed in Limud HaTorah. He had nothing to do with anything in the world. He didn't step out of the base. Spanish, we learned this out, he didn't sleep, nothing. Nitman halacha means you don't exist. So the Keshut Eitor asks a very powerful question. He's here for 14 years. No one even knows where he is. He's in hiding. He's completely immersed in the Beis Medrash Shein V'Eiver. And now, after 14 years, he leaves and he goes to Choron. And the pasuk goes out of the way and says, Vayetze Yaakov. Now, when he left, Pane Hoida, Pane Ziva, Pane Hadara. Really? We didn't even know he was here for 14 years. As far as we're concerned, he left, he skipped town 14 years ago. He used to be active in his father's home, and he stole the brachos from Esav, but everyone knew Yaakov, and now his mother and father tell him, I want you to get out of here, leave, because you're in trouble. So he stops off in Shem V'Aver for 14 years, and then he leaves Shem V'Aver, and when it says, Vayetze Yaakov Miber Shava, what does that mean exactly? It means he left the Beis Medrash of Shem V'Aver to go to Charan, because Shem V'Aver is not in Charan, Shem V'Aver is in Be'er Sheva, and now, Pono Hoida, Pono Ziva, Pono Hadara. So the Keshut Torah says in a very powerful part, we think that if you want to take this idea into modern times and say, wow, a celebrity left our midst. We had here, we were zeichet to have a personality, a family in the community, and now they're moving, they're making aliyah, they're going somewhere. Oh, when they leave, we're going to send them away. We're going to make a sudas preda, pana hoida, pana ziva, pana hadara. These are only people that are well known in the community who have an effect on us, who we deal with, people that we like. But stam, a guy sitting in the kollel who no one knows about, a tzaddik, big deal, let him go. What does he do? What does he do for us? What benefit do we have from the Talmidei Chachamim? They're nitman, they're completely immersed, they're in their own little world. It's a very powerful vart. Rashi is telling us, don't underestimate, don't take for granted the koach of a tzaddik nistar. You have people, simple people. They don't make any noise. They come to shul. They do the little thing. They do the little chesed projects. No one knows about them. They don't make noise. Whether they're learning Torah, they're just good, simple, ordinary people. And then the day comes, they leave. There's no fanfare. There's no nothing. You don't realize the zuchusim that the city had in their merit. It's in their zuchus that the city is zoichet, the community is zoichet to hodar, to ziv, yoifi. The Musar Haskil of these words, don't take for granted the simple people. You don't know the zuchusim a person, a simple person has, in what benefit they bring, what bracha they bring the community. They said it's a very famous story of Moshe Feinstein, where there was a mice where he was on the drive, and a person comes running into his apartment and says, I just saw a Jewish boy get killed. I was on the drive, right outside your window, FDR Drive, right over there. There was someone crossing. It's a very dangerous intersection. If anyone knows the FDR Drive, to get onto the drive right there, it's not so simple to go on over there, the streets. They put new lights now.
Crosswalks. There were a bridge over.
Going over.
Used to run across the highway to go play.
But right in front of the building, right in front of the building where Moshe used to live, if you ever go there down with it's a dangerous area. Someone said that a boy, a Jewish boy, how do you know it was a Jewish boy? Because there was a boy that was killed, the police are there, ambulance is there, and on the floor, on the scene, there's a yarmulke. And it was very disturbed. So how many people are there in the lower east side at that point in time? Everyone knew each other, so it was very disturbed. So Moshe says, it can't be. Don't worry, it can't be. Sure enough, he came out a couple of hours later, it wasn't a Jewish boy. It was a tragedy. No one's coming to minimize the tragedy, but it was just the yarmulke. So something happened. Maybe there was a boy in the river. Something happened. So he said, how did you know? So Moshe, something shocking. This is very uncharacteristic of Moshe Feinstein, but this is a documented story. Mm-hmm. He says, because it can't be. I sit and I learn here Torah every day in this Makom. Mm-hmm. And I can see from the window where this event occurred. It can't be that I learn Torah and the Torah least is not Megan, doesn't protect at least this Makom, this immediate area from Oson, from tragedy. It can't be.
I knew nobody ever got hurt all the years we used to drive. You never heard this word. No, I was wondering. I was going to say can't be.
Well, that, there we go on to
the... It was a Jewish boy because none of us ever got hurt.
So this again, it's a very powerful, it's a powerful idea. Yaakov, when Rashi emphasizes Hoida, Ziva, Hadara, it's not referring to the big politicians, the big famous celebrities who are leaving the city. It's referring to people that no one even knows about. They're in a Mokoim and they're righteous, they're tzaddikim, they do chesed, they learn Torah. They are the Yoifi, and when they leave, unfortunately, the whole city changes. Let's go to another idea. Yaakov Avinu, it says, here he comes. This is a word I'm very fond of. I probably told this to you before, but I want to repeat it for anyone who did not hear. Yaakov Avinu, he comes to, or Chazar, for myself included, Yaakov comes to the Mokoim, of Vayifka Bamokan, Vayachaloim, Vayolon Shem Kivo, Vayifka Bamokan, Vayolon Shem Kivo Hashemesh, Vayikach Miavni Hamokan. Rashi tells what exactly, what do you mean Vayifka Bamokan? So Rashi says that Yaakov Avinu never really planned to daven here. Rashi says Yaakov was planning. Let me just find the place in the Rashi. Where is the Rashi? Here it is. Okay. Uklape Shem Rabbi Sinu Shem Shem Kodesh Baruch Hu Tzadik Zebo Lebeis Meloni Vipate Beloilina. Okay. So he goes on to say, Ihu lo yohiv libe lehispalo b'mokoyim shispalo avas. I'm bringing the words of Rashi. The words of Rashi are critical to understand this idea. Yaakov was going from Be'er Shava to Choron. When you go from Be'er Shava to Choron, you pass over Har Hamoriah. You pass it on the highway. There's an exit. You're on the highway. Exit 16. Exit 26. 26 Shem Yud Kevavke is Har Hamoriah. He's on the highway. He sees exit 26. Keep on going. Because you have to go to Choron. Choron is exit number 2. So his kilo goes down the highway. He gets down to exit number 2 and he says to himself, how could it be I didn't stop off on the highway at exit 26 to go and stop off by the Beis Hamikdash, by the Kosel, and be Nispalo? So Rashi says, Ihu, Yaakov Avinu lo ad Choron Ozal, he went all the way to Choron, I lost the place. Give me one second. Ihu ad Choron Ozal lo yoiv libe lehispalo b'mokam shespalo avaysaf. He wasn't interested. It wasn't a tourist attraction for Yaakov Avinu. Umin hashamayim yakvu. However, in heaven they brought him back. Ihu ad Choron Ozal. He went all the way until Choron. He went to exit number 2. Kedaminu perik ginanosha v'kramuchich v'yel Chorona. Kimato lo Choron. When he reached exit number 2, Omar, he said, I made a big mistake. When I passed exit 26, I should have stopped off. Efshar she'avarti al mokoyim shehispalalu avoysai. I passed exit 26, the place where my father and grandfather, Avraham and Yitzchak, where they were mispalal, the place where the arcade took place. V'loy hispalalti bo. And I did not pray there. What a mistake. Yoyiv daite lemahader. I'm going back. I'm getting back in the car. I'm going back all the way to Har Hamoriah. The Chozar at Beiskel, and he started going backwards. And then Kefitzas Haderech, a miracle happened. All of a sudden, he was in exit number 2. Before he blinked, he was already exit 26. He was back there at Har Hamoriah. Question is, what was his Havamina, and what was his Maskana? Why in the beginning did he feel it was not worthy to stop off by Har Hamoriah? And why did he suddenly change his mind? The answer is, this is a Musar Haskel for life. Many people, when they're young, they look at their parents and their grandparents and they say, you know, they were good people. They were good people, they accomplished a lot, but I'm going to make my own way in this world. They were good, they did their thing. I don't have to build upon their legacy. Let me be my own man. And they set out from where they are all the way to Choron, all the way to go on their mission to find their own place in this world. And they don't appreciate, they don't focus on their father and their grandfather. And then when they finally get to their destination and they succeed in accomplishing what they want to accomplish, they then realize how foolish they were. That their accomplishments, their goals, their hasagas was nothing compared to what their father and grandfather accomplished. Then they first realize the only way to really accomplish something in this world is to build your goals upon the foundation of your predecessors, upon your father and grandfather. Avraham, even Yaakov Avinu, he spent 14 years learning in Shem V'Aver. He became a tremendous Talmud Chacham. What am I going to do? I'm going to have my own derech in life. This is L'Shem Shemayim. No, Har Hamoriah, it's a nice place, wonderful thing. This is a great accomplishment of my father, my grandfather, but it's not me. This is not my tafkid in life. He goes to Choron. He reaches his destination, which is symbolic. He comes to where he realizes this will be his demokon, where he will fulfill his role in life. But then after you get what you want, you first, later in life, realize how great and how much you owe your predecessors. And that's why now he has to come back to Avraham, and Yitzhak returns back to Har HaMoriah. This is a Musar Haskel in the Seder HaChayim, the natural tendency the person goes...
But he went back right away.
He went back right away, right. He went back. Gloria, but it's symbolic. It's Maisa of a similar bottom. A person, when they're young, I don't need my parents. I can do my own thing. And then when you reach your destination, when you already find your own way, you first realize how foolish you are, and you always needed the help of your parents all along you. Then you first want to go back to the Mokum where you came from. Okay, let's go to another idea. Let's go to that. This idea is from the Malbim. When Rabbi Kamat says, it says almost everything I'm about to tell you, but there are a little few ideas that I want to add to the Malbim. The Malbim is a beautiful idea we have here, the Naftali, the birth of all of the Shvatim. Kamat, all the Shvatim are born in this week's parasha, with the exception of Binyamin. And when Naftali is born after a time of great tsar to Rachel. Remember, Rachel was meant to be the chosen wife of Yaakov. Lavan switches Rachel for Leah, and Rachel and Leah has six children. Vatere Rachel, She has Leah has Reuven, Shimon, Levi.
He's number six.
Dina was number seven. But she has a whole collection of children, Levi and Yehuda. Let's just first, she has four children, okay? First four children. Vatere Rachel ki lo yolda li Yaakov. Rachel saw that she didn't have any children. Vatakani Rachel li Yaakov, vatomel Yaakov hovel li bon vayin meis anochi. So Yaakov rebukes her, and finally she gives him Bila. Bila gives birth to a child, and she vatel bein, vatomel Rachel donani lukim v'gam shem abakoli, vatid li bein alken kor shemo don. She calls him Don, okay? Vatarod, she has a second child. Hashem judged me. Hashem judged me. He saw my tsar, and he had rachmonis upon me by giving me a child through my maidservant. Next child. Vatarod, vatilabil shivchas rachel bein shel Yaakov. Vatamar rachel naftulei elokim niftalti imachlesi gam yocholti. Vatikro shmo naftuli. That's a mouthful. Very elaborate expression. Naftulei elokim niftalti. I wrestled. There are different translations for this word. Rashi has an elaboration of what it means. Imachoisi, gam yocholti, and I survived. Rashi learns, I wanted Naftali, according to one interpretation, probably the simple interpretation is, I wanted to be a partner with my sister. I wanted to join her. Just like she had the merit to be a mother for Yaakov Avinu, to have at this point in time four children, I also wanted to share in that role. My sister has a very important role in raising the children of Yaakov. I wanted to join her. Naftule means to join. That's one of Rashi's many interpretations. I wanted to join her and also serve in this role as a mother to the children of Yaakov. Gam yocholti. I succeeded. How did I succeed? It was not through my womb, but it was through my shivcha, through Bila. I was able to have a child, and therefore I'm going to call my child Naftali. Through Naftali, it's the second child that I have. I have joined my sister in this role of being a mother to the children of Yaakov, the mother of Klal Yisrael. However, Rashi's first interpretation is something very different. What I'm saying is really Pashup Shan and Rashi. This comes from the Malbim, but I want to tie into Psukim. Naftule Elokim, Naftali ben Soduk. We know Naftali ben Soduk was one of Rashi's colleagues. He was a baki in Diktuk. Rashi quotes him very often. Pershu b'machberes. He translates the word Naftali in his dictionary. Tzomid posil. Now, what does that mean? Tzomid posil. It's the first parish of Rashi. Naftule is a very difficult word. It means a seal, something which is sealed. Tzomid posil. Now, what does that mean? Tzomid posil. To be connected. So Rashi goes on to say chiburim, that when you have a seal, this is how Rashi learns, understands Menachem ben Soduk. A seal is something which is firmly attached to a container. That's the purpose of a seal. You don't want anything to leak, so you take something and you cover it and you firmly attach it. It's so attached, nothing will come out of what is inside. So according to Rashi's understanding of Menachem ben Soduk, So mit pasil is a trend, is another way of saying connect. I wanted to connect myself to my sister in a very strong way, to be with her in her role, in her capacity, in her role of being a mother to Klal Yisrael. The Malbum doesn't seem to learn the Menachem ben Tzoruk's translation. Menachem ben Tzoruk just says Samit Posil, but it has a different take on what it means exactly. Very beautiful idea, which opens up a whole new world into this pasuk, into Naftali, and to the brach of Yaakov later on, and the brach of Moshe. The Malbum learns Samit Posil means the matter, what has happened to me in my life is very tragic and is hidden. Its understanding is hidden from me. I don't understand why this happened to me. It was meant for me to be the husband of Yaakov, the wife of Yaakov. Everyone knew Yaakov. There were two children, two daughters to Laban, two sons to Yitzchak. The older would marry the older, the younger would marry the younger. I was always meant, my basheret was Yaakov. I knew this from the time I was born. Everyone knew this. So I was expecting to have a wonderful, to live happily ever after, to marry Yaakov, and to have children, and everything will be fine. I didn't expect to have a tzara. We all have a co-wife. Do you know what it is to have a co-wife? The Gemara talks about it. It's in the Olam Nivam. That's why it's called a tzara. A second wife is called a tzara because literally that's what it is. They're both competing for the attention of their husband. It's a terrible. That itself is a tragedy. It's a double tragedy that she came first. I had to give her the simonim. She, my sister Leah, she came first. And on top of that, look at this. She already has four children. And I have nothing. My whole life has been turned upside down. I did everything right. I went to the right nursery and the right kindergarten and the right elementary school. I got into the right seminary. I did everything you can possibly. My resume is perfect. And I have a moon of shoot and a kadosh baruch hu. And look how Hashem rewarded me. One blow after another. My wedding night was ruined by Leah coming, taking my place. Then I ended up marrying my husband, which was not a very pleasant thing to have a co-wife. And then I have no children. She now has four children. I have nothing. You know how I feel? It's a very great tragedy. And that's what it means. Naftule Elokim Niftalti. Hashem has hidden His ways from me. Hashem's hanhaga, as far as I'm concerned, is buried underneath a tzamid pasil, under a seal. It's classified. Why has Hashem done this to me? Why has He brought upon me all of these tragedies, these difficulties? I don't know. I can't make any sense out of it. It's concealed. However, here's the beautiful way the Malbim learns Pshan the Pasuk. Pshan the Pasuk. Gam Yocholti. It's okay, Hashem.
I endured it,
and it's not a problem. I have in you Emunah Pshuta. It's not going to take away from my Avoda, my love for you, Hashem, and the way I live my life. I will continue to live my life be Emunah Pshuta. A whole different interpretation. Look what's going on over here. According all Menachem ben Tzoruk says is, we have a very funny word, Naftali, Naftule. What does this word mean? So without going into etymology of the word, Menachem ben Tzoruk says it means Tzamid Pasil. That's all it says in the dictionary. Along comes Rashi, what does it mean Tzamid Pasil? It means a connection. That's what it means, that's the context. It means you take a seal is connected, and in this context it means Rachel said, I want to be like my sister. I want to be connected to her. I want to rub shoulders with her. What she does, I want to do. And Gam Yocholti, I succeeded. How did I succeed? Because I took my shifra, Bila, I gave it to my husband Yaakov, and she had a child. I'm going to be the foster mother of this child. So now I'm just like my sister. I'm rubbing shoulders. We're both pushing the baby carriage in the street together. I'm one of her. I'm part of her. Gam Yocholti. The Malbim says, the way Rashi learns the Taich, how he interprets the word Naftali, caused Rashi to learn the word Gam Yocholti to mean I succeeded in being a partner. Malbim, no. You're now learning the Menachem ben Tzoruk the right way. Menachem ben Tzoruk says it means some apostle. What Leah, look at the context. Rachel is saying, I have a miserable life. Everything went wrong. I did everything right, and Hashem rewarded me by doing everything wrong. No good deed goes unpunished. And now, but you know what? Naftuli Elokim Naftalti, your ways are completely hidden from me, Hashem. It's Tzomid Pasil classified. Gam Yocholti. I'm able to overcome it. I'm able to live a life and munah pshut. It's an incredible statement. Now, when you learn the pshat of the pasuk like the Malbim, now you can fully appreciate the baracha of Moshe Rabbeinu. And then, what? And she named him Naftali. Naftali, the person Naftali, captures this concept to live emunah pshuta despite the greatest hester upon him. What's the baruch of Moshe Rabbeinu? Naftali siva rotzoin. You are satiated with will, molei birkas Hashem. What do we say in davening every single day, three times a day? Poseach es yodecha umaspia l'chol chai rotzon. Tzadik Hashem b'chol d'rocha v'chosid b'chol masak. There are many interpretations. But one interpretation is, what is tzadik? Tzadik is always used in reference to tzidik hadin. When things are no good, when everything goes the wrong way, a person to come and say, tzadik Hashem b'chol d'rocha, that's a very high madrega. And what's the hakdama, the introduction to saying to be matzdik alav es hadin? Tzidik hadin. Tzidik hadin is said at the time of a funeral. Tzidik hadin, before kavur, after kavur, tzidik hadin. On Tisha B'av we say tzidik hadin l'chasha matzdaka. We say the whole piyut on tzidik hadin. What comes before tzidik hadin? What do you say? Posech es yodecha. Hashem opens up his hand and he must be satisfied l'chol chai, every creature with rotzon. What does it mean? So a very simple means Hashem gives you whatever you want. We know that's not true. We know that's not a pshat. It means Hashem gives you the ability, ratzon, to go forward. If you really, if a person has a difficult life, a difficult situation, it's easy to give up. But if you really want to go forward and have a munah and continue despite the difficulties, Hashem is willing to help you. Hashem will satisfy you with the ratzon, the will to go forward, even though there are difficulties. When you have that ratzon to go forward in the difficulties, then you can come and you can say tzadik Hashem b'chol d'rochav. Who's the one that said this? Who's the one that captured this concept? According to the Malbim, it's Naftali. That's exactly what Rachel is saying. Naftulei Elokim Naftalti. Your ways are hidden from Hashem. I don't know what's going on. Gam yecholti. I'm able. I have a moon. I'm able to overcome it. Gam yecholti. In other words, Naftali. Now, how are you able to overcome it? Naftali sivar rotzon. The only reason why Naftali is able to overcome this mean is because Naftali is the one that has absorbed. Posech es yodecha maspir l'chol chai rotzon. That's why he's able to say tzadik Hashem l'chol d'rochav. And what else? What's the other bracha that Naftali received? Yaakov, what's the bracha Naftali? Ayala shechucha, ayala shalucha, hanoisein imre shofer. What's ayala? Chazal v'drosh, the difference between ayala and a tzvi. Ach, toichlenu kasher yeochal hatzvi ve'ayol. The pasuk always compares the tzvi to, what's the difference between the ayol? The tzvi, when it runs, is always looking backwards. The ayol never looks back. The ayol always looks forward. What's the nida of Naftali in this pasuk? I have a lot of tzaras. A lot of things don't make any sense. Everything is going wrong, but I don't look backwards. I have no tainus to go look. Why did this happen? Why did that happen? Why did Rachel, Leah marry Yaakov, and why do I not have children? No regrets. No looking backwards to get me stuck. Ayolah shelucha. Rachel just goes forward. Hanoisein imre shofer. The one that gives over the most beautiful words in the Torah are Naftulei Elokim Naftalti. Hashem, you have concealed yourself from me. V'enochi haster aster panai. But v'gam yecholti. Just because you've concealed yourself, it doesn't matter, Hashem. Yecholti. I can go weiter. I can proceed. This is the most beautiful words you can possibly say, and it's captured in the bracha of the name Naftali. So this is a very beautiful pasuk on the pasuk. Parsha Pshat in the Pasuk, which opens up for us Parsha Pshat in two more Pesukim in the Torah. Why is the Moshe giving the bracha? And why is Yaakov giving the bracha? Well, when you take the word Naftali to mean some apostle, and you learn the Taish of some apostle in the interpretation of the Malbim, and now you force yourself to understand what it means, Gam Yacholti, wow, what a potent. What a combination. Look what's going on over here. When you go look at this in the context of what happened to Leah, of Rachel, of all the problems, everything went wrong. Dam Yacholti. It's okay, Hashem. Nothing changes. Doesn't change anything. Hanoisein Imre Shofer. Ayola. I'm not looking back. Moshe Rabbeinu. Naftali Svarotzoin. Umole Birkas Hashem. This is the ultimate koyach, the koyach of Naftali. Okay, let's go to another idea. Now this is a very short idea. I don't know what it means. Something for you to think about. I came across yesterday this idea in a new sefer. It's a very nice likud of ideas. Yaakov comes and he has a dream. And in the dream he sees Malachim Oilim V'Yordim, going up and down. So question is, I didn't pay attention to this until after I already left yeshiva and I came home and I was thinking what to say today. And then I had the sefer. I would tell you all the sources and look at it again, but I don't have the sefer in front of me anymore. Question is, why are the Malachim going up and down the ladder? Don't Malachim have wings? Don't Malachim have wings? We have all these midrashim that the Malachim accompanying Yaakov Avinu, the Malachim who work in Canaan, they have the union does not allow them to work in Haran. And the union of Malachim and Haran, they don't let the workers, they're union rules. You can't play games. Different sets of Malachim, or you're going to learn the Malachim they represent are Yavan, Parasumadai, Bavel, Edom. Okay, so they are the representatives, but we know that the Malachim, everyone knows these murals, you see Malachim, the first thing about a Malachim is has wings. So all of a sudden, they're so primitive. They need a ladder. A shemazel, like a ladder. The splinters. What do you need a ladder for? What's going on here? So it says this Medrash or Kadmain. This is heavy duty stuff. You're not going to believe what it says. You're not going to believe this. These Malachim were baby Malachim. And their wings didn't grow yet. This is what it says. This is a Medrash or a Kadmain. Would you believe such a shocking statement? They were children. They were children Malachim. They're relatively new. It works very well when you want to learn the Medrash that it represents Bavel, Parasumadai. They were infants. At that point in time, it's corresponding to world affairs. Bavel did not yet develop. Parasumadai, Yavan, they didn't develop. They're just, the potential is there. They're just, the seeds are there, but the world has not developed. These Malachim, they're Kindlach. The Kindlach Malachim. The male of their wings are not yet functional, and therefore they have no choice but to climb up on the ladder. That's what it says. It's all it says in the Sefer.
What about the Kavod of Yaakov?
What?
You send out babies to the Kavod of Yaakov? Should that adult,
this is what it says. This is what it says. This is what it says. The Mechaber's name is Perlau. The last name is Perlau. The first name of the Sefer is called Yitzutze something. I don't know. I don't remember. He's the Mechaber. I'm familiar about a 25-volume set called Margolios Hashas. Margolios Hashas on Agadita. He then put out now two volumes again on Shas. Now he's putting out Tzvam and Chumash. It's a likud, like Hasidus Torah, likud, but a lot of like midrashim, interesting things, things that you're not common, things you never heard of before. Like this, something you never heard of before, such a thing. He dug this up. I don't know where he dug this up. Now, the reason why I'm telling this to you is just to make an observation, to make a very simple observation. We're learning different Hayamim, we're learning about the Kuvim, and we know that the Kuvim Moshe Rabbeinu, if this Medrash is correct, or this source is correct, that baby angels don't fly because their wings have not yet developed yet, if such a thing is true, we know that on the Kuvim Moshe Rabbeinu, why is a Kuv called a Kuv? A Kuv is called a Kuv because it's a child. Shekein, Bekarchei, a Kuv is a Kravya, it's another word for an infant. The Tzura of the angels that are facing each other on top of the Aron are children. So my question then is, if they're children, how come they have wings? How come How come they have wings? If this Yisod of this Rashi, Parsha Yetzei, Yaakov is in the Beis Hamikdash, right? This is the Makom Hashros Hashem. This is the Makom. He's now standing over the place where the Aron will one day rest. And the Aron's one day going to rest, and he sees her, and the Chaloyim and their angels going up a ladder. And ultimately, when Hashem gives us the Torah, we're going to go and put, we're going to put on top of the Aron, on this Makom, Kruvim, children, Kruvim, the image of children, but the children have wings. So I'm sure you all heard the expression, youth is wasted on the young. What does it mean to have wings? Wings represent mobility. It represents the ultimate form of mobility to accomplish. There are no limitations. When you have feet, you're very limited. When you have wheels, a little bit better. When you have wings, there's no limitation. There's no limitation in your ability, mobility. And mobility doesn't just mean to go on vacation. It means symbolically to accomplish. Unfortunately, the way Hashem created the world is youth is wasted on the young. You don't give a license to a child. Child, you don't touch. You don't touch the car. You sit in a child-proof seat. You don't touch any buttons. Don't make any trouble. Adult, but unfortunately, that's the time in life when a person youth is youth. But when you're youthful, you don't know what you're doing. You have no experience. You can't be trusted to give them the tools of mobility. The bracha that Hashem gave Klal Yisrael is the combination of youth and being young. It's not in the world. The mitzvah says youth is wasted on the young. The bracha that Hashem gives Klal Yisrael in the Mishkan is that youth is not wasted on the young. That I'm going to give you koichos, supernatural koichos to accomplish mobility. Mobility is synonymous with accomplishment. To go and to move, to shake the world in a matzav of youthfulness. Not in a matzav when you're 100 years old and you have no koichos left, and by the time you figure out how the world works, it's already too late to do anything about it. I'm going to give you the tools, and I'm going to give you the koichos to accomplish. That's what the kruvim are. Children with wings. They don't go together. Children and wings don't go together. Unless HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you the supernatural siyat d'shmaya that they can go together. The proof they don't go together is the sixth parsha. The malachim go on double ladders. They don't have wings yet. But I think there's something to it. So let's go to another idea. We have 12 stones. The 12 stones, the Medrash says, it doesn't say in the past how many 12 stones there were. Does it?
No.
Stones, it's just there's stones. And the Medrash tells us he took 12 stones connected to the Shvatim he's going to have. And he puts them around his head as a marzev, a gutter to protect his head. And all of a sudden the stones begin a quarrel. Allah yoniach tzadik rosh. All of the stones want the tzadik to rest his head upon it. And what happens? The miracle, Hashem merges all the stones. Yaakov wakes in the morning and look at that. Look at that. There's only one stone. He takes the one stone, he pours upon it oil, and he makes it into a matzeva, and he says, "Lo'evin azos shasamti matzeva yeh beis elokim v'cholashay titin li aser asrenolach." Everything is going to go for you, Hashem. When I lie down at night, think about what happened here. When I lie down at night, I have 12 stones, and 12 stones, they're for my personal protection. I'm just a human being, right? I'm a human being. There are wild creatures out there. It's a dangerous place, the Wild West. I need protection. So I'm going to take the stones to protect me. In the morning, all of a sudden, the stones are no longer about me. The stones are going to be dedicated to Vo'evin Hazos. Asher Samti Matseva Yiyah Beis Elokim. The stone is not about me. It's about you, Hashem. It's about you, Ribbono Shel Olam. Now, this idea, I saw this idea. I don't know where I saw this. I'm telling you now, it's not exactly the way I saw it, but I want to elaborate upon this idea. We really do this. We fulfill this pasuk every single week. What do we mean? What do I mean? How many brachos are there in the Shemona Esrei? 19. Truth is, the Shemona Esrei is one of the most funniest terms. There are never ever 18 blessings in the Shemona Esrei. There's always 19, or there's 7 or 9. Never happens, but we call it Shemona Esrei. Just goes to show that just because you call something Shemona Esrei, it does not have to be taken literally. But it used to be Shemona Esrei before the Eid of Lam Al Shinin. Who was the one here? Shmuel Hakatan, Eid of Lam Al Shinin. It used to be 18 blessings. How do you break down the 18 blessings? How do you break them down? There are three that are Shevach, and there are three that are Hoidah. That's six. And how many brachas are in the middle? How many brachas in the middle? What? The 13 today. But you, let's go back to the original, okay? The original Shemoneh Esrei, 12 brachas. 12 brachas. What are all the 12 brachas about, the middle brachas? They're all about me. Hashem, I want chachma. I want refuah. I want parnasa. I want you to forgive me for my sins. For me, because if I have sins, I'm gonna suffer. I'm gonna be punished. I want to be able to come close to you for my own personal benefit. If I come close to you, I'll feel good. Everything in the Shemoneh Esrei, I want a Yerushalayim. Why? I want a capital. I want to have a makom. I need a place in this world. You look at the Shemoneh Esrei, all the 12 brachas, they're all really very selfish. That's really the truth. The 12 brachas in the middle are all selfish brachas. They're all about me, myself, and I. It's all about us. Even though we package it in a very religious packaging, it's Baruch Atah Hashem, we want to come close to you to for your Shechina. Yeah, it's true, it's all good, and that's how it has to be. What happens when it comes Shabbos? What happens when it comes Shabbos? All of a sudden, the 12 brachas disappear. There's only one bracha. The 12 stones merge into one. And what's the one? The one is all about Hashem. Ato kidashta. Yismach Moshe b'manat kiev is about Shabbos. You have to go through the mitzvahs. It's all about Hashem. You have to focus in ato echad v'shimcha echad. You focus on the middle bracha of Shabbos. It's all about v'ho'evin hazos asher samti matzeva yihi abeis elokim. It all is focused on Hashem. So what we're really doing is every single week, the climax of the week is we come to Shabbos. We start off the week with 12 brachas, 12/13. Just like Yaakov. Yaakov lies down, and Yaakov needs protection, he has needs, he needs support. No, I have 12 stones. And then as we progress in the week, we realize those 12 stones that comes to Shabbos. Shabbos is not just, it's a day off. Shabbos is supposed to be a day in the week where after 6 days of running around, after our selfish needs, to recognize, you know what? We're really not so important. It's not all about us. After you have the candy, you realize it's not so good. After you toim tamchet, you realize there are more important things. And what's more important is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The 12 stones turn into one bracha. And that one bracha is not about us. It's for Evena Zos Asher Samti Matseva Yihye Beis Elokim. It's all for Hashem. And one will just add is that that really is hidden in what we say at the end of Shemoneh Esrei. Yihyu L'Ratzayin Imrei Fi V'Hegyon Libi L'Fonecha Hashem Tzuri V'Goali. Hashem is my rock. My rock. Why do we say that? It's a very strange expression. Hashem is my Tzuri, my rock. So Tzur means Hashem is my stronghold. He is my source of strength. But Al Derech Drush, who is the first one to take a rock and dedicate a rock to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Yaakov. Yaakov says, Im yeh lekim imod yishmarim b'derech ha'shanuch melech v'nasam l'lechem lecha l'vega l'ulbosh v'shavti v'shom ha'beis aviv v'ho even hazos asher samti matzeva yeh beis elokim. Yaakov, when he made that stone, Hashem Tzuri v'goali, Yaakov was saying that this stone will be a mokam for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's more than just that. It's that all of my personal needs. Yaakov said, Yaakov really was saying is, all of my personal needs will become bottle to your one need. I have many needs, but all my personal needs will just pale. It will just become bottle to you. One, your singular need of Kvod Malchuso Yisparach Shemo. And in that sense, when you finish the Shemoneh Esrei and you go through all of your personal needs, you conclude, Rabbeinu Shlomo, I know I'm selfish, but the goal is, through this, ultimately I will come to recognize and recognize that all the Avonim will be devoted, dedicated just to you in the form of Evan Azos, which saluted to Hashem Tsuri the Goali.
Then we go into Elokai Netzor, and then we're back to Aron Bakush.
But that's the last thing. Elokai Al Yilutzon, you say Yilutzon the very, very end, after Elokai Netzor. The very, very end of Elokai Netzor is when you say it. Okay, one last short idea. We have this parasha, the praise of Rachel Leah. The Rachel Hoyesa Yifas Tari Fas Mar. Rachel was Yifas Toyar and Yifas Mar, beautiful in form and appearance. The Leah, but the Ene Leah Rakus. So similarly, you translate Ene Leah. We've discussed Ene Leah Rakus means that she, her eyes were tender because she cried. She was aware that she was destined to marry. Esav, and she cried. The Targum does not learn like the Targum learns. Eini le'irakos means that her eyes were beautiful. So if you learn like the Targum, what comes out, the result is, the Torah is only giving praise. When the Torah describes, you go to a shatran, you tell me about these two girls. I want to hear information about these two girls. So the shatran says, well, Rachel, she's a stunning beauty. She's gorgeous. Leah, I never saw a girl with such beautiful eyes. Both compliments. Okay? They didn't say anything wrong. They're both very positive. Torah is only giving positive praise to Rachel and Leah. But there's a very subtle difference. When the Torah describes the praise of Rachel, it's in the past tense. The Rachel hoyisa yifas toyar yifas mara. Leah is the present tense. The Eine Leah Rakos. Leah's eyes are beautiful and they will always be beautiful. Now, besides going into the symbolism of what the eyes represent and what the form represents in the Mara, let's just focus on this. Boy comes home, he tells his parents, Shatran presented two Shidduchim. One Shidduch, they told him about a certain Milas, and the other Shidduch, different Milas, very different set of Milas. Okay, and not discussed. So the parents say to the child, wise parents will say to the child, well, the Milas of this girl, it's not going to last. It's true. Now they're very good. These are very chashuva things. But think about life. You've got to plan, think about life 20 years from now. Where are you going to be holding 20 years from now? The Milas that they've presented you are very good now, but they're going to expire. And 20 years down the line, what are you going to have? On the other hand, the other girl, she doesn't have the milas of the first girl. She has different milas, but those milas are things we'll have for life. There are different types of milas. No one has everything. The first thing you learn in Shidduchim is there's no such thing as having nothing. They have trade-offs. So what's better? What's better? Well, what's better is for different people. It depends what's better is better. What I want to say is we have a very famous machlekes in Masechta Shabbos about a kala. Go to Chasna and you want to praise the kala. Machlekes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. How do you praise the kala? So what does Beis Shammai say? Beis Hillel says kala noa v'chasuda, beautiful mole chein mole chesed. Beis Shammai says, you liar. How dare you say that? She's ugly as sin. You say it the way it is. Kala kimos shehi. You say it the way it is. You say it the way it is. So what in the world is going on in this Gemara? So everyone throws in their hat to give an explanation. Similarly, they learn is that they tell the Pashup Shah of the Gemara is, we're dealing here with a Kala that's not 100%. She's not the most stunning beauty, and she's not the smartest, and she's not whatever. She doesn't have all the miles. So Beis Hillel basically says, Beis Hillel is very lenient, right? We all know Beis Hillel from the Mekilim. He's very realistic, very practical. So Beis Hillel says, listen, a little white lie is not going to hurt you. So you go to the chasna. So what do you want to be, Messiah? The chasna, just say it. Just hold your breath and say, Kala nohe v'chasuda. A little white lie. Beis Shammai says, sheker. You're not going to lie. What kind of business is this? You say it the way it is, whatever that means. Just basically don't lie. Do the best you can. Don't make up any lies. That's not even Pashut in the Gemara. However, perhaps we can suggest that that's not the case. We're dealing here with a kala. In the Gemara's example, even Beis Shammai would hold him, Shammai da'akashom. That's not the case. The Gemara is not where the kala is a negative. we're dealing with the most exquisite Kala the world has ever seen. She has all the milas. All the milas. The perfect Kala. The question is, how do you praise the perfect Kala? Machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is, do you focus on Rachel or do you focus on Leah? Rachel had the mila, the overwhelming mila, Yifas Toyar Yifas Mare. But Hoyesa, she was. Yifas Toyar Yifas Mare doesn't last forever. Yifas Toyar Yifas Mare are characteristics or attributes which are associated with youth. When someone's 90 years old, no matter how beautiful you were, it pales in comparison to what the person is now. It's not the same. When you're 90 years old, it's a difference. That's a mitzvah in life. On the other hand, beautiful eyes, milus of yichus, of integrity, of chokhma, this is something which only gets better in life, which will remain forever in life. So the question is, what should be the focus? What should be the focus when you're dealing with a kal that has all the milus? If the kal has none of the milus, that we're not discussing. That is not, that's a whole different league. Forget about that. That's a whole different story. But when you're dealing with a cow that has all the milas, what should be the focus? Should the focus be Rachel? Right now, at this moment in time, it's the chasana, it's the time of enjoyment. So let's focus on the beautiful things that are in front of us, even though they're not the most important things. Because these are major things to celebrate at the moment. That's the Shita Beis Hillel. Kala Noav Chasuda Rachel V'Rachel Hoysi Yifas Tev Yifas Maret. Beis Shammai says, no, that's not the focus. The focus is Leah. The Eine Leah Rakos Targum. Beautiful. Your Eos Rakos Itarich is beautiful. It's not the main thing of the Tifas Torah, but this is what the Chassan, when he'll ever look back his whole life, when all of the other things go away, and he'll look back at his wedding album and he'll remember all the Shevach, all the praise, all the things. What do you want him to remember? You want him to remember something which will carry with him in life forever. At the moment, sacrifice the celebration for the moment, for the long term, big picture. Oh, the photographer. For the long term, that's right, I didn't realize subconsciously, you had a roshim on me. So this is the focus Rachel or is the focus Leah? Yeah.
So why did Yaakov love Rachel?
What?
Why did Yaakov love Rachel? You're right, Rabbi. He should have passed him like Beis Shammai.
He should have said, why?
That's another issue, okay. Have a wonderful Shabbos.